Well, evening, everybody. If you can take your Bibles in whatever form you have them or would like to use them, including those red Bibles there in front of you. We got two Bible readings this evening, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. Our first Bible reading is taken from Psalm 127. And if you have quick fingers, you can shout out the number for me. It's on page, 918? 518 of the red Bibles, Psalm 127. And then we're going to jump over into Mark chapter 4. Psalm 127, hear the word of the Lord. A song of ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. In our second Bible reading, I'd encourage you actually not to turn to this one, but just to listen to it this evening. It's Mark chapter 4, and we're just looking at verses 26 to 29. So we'll do it a little differently. I encourage you to you can turn there in a second, but close your eyes. And just listen to this story, Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is like seed scattered. And we pray, Lord, that that seed would produce in us this evening a rich harvest, a harvest of salvation, a harvest of encouragement, a harvest of perseverance and growth in the faith. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, if you're joining us for the first time, or if you're visiting, or if you've missed a couple weeks, we are looking at some parables, some stories that Jesus told, all in Mark chapter 4. And we've slowed way, way down. This is like slow motion preaching. We're just looking at one parable at a time instead of taking them all as a large chunk. We looked at the parable of the soils, the seed that's scattered on the ground, and depending on the soil on which it falls, it does different things. But we're always looking for that good soil that produces a rich harvest of 30 or 60 and 100 fold. And we were left asking the question, what kind of soil is the soil of my heart right now? Last week, we looked at the little section in verses 21 to 25, the section about the lamp that's put up by the Lord to reveal the gospel, that there's nothing secret about Christianity, and that the Lord wants to draw those in, and that we should be very careful and pay close attention to how we hear, because it is with the measure that you use that it will be measured to you. If you come to the gospel with a thimble, you'll get a thimble. If you come to the gospel with a 20-pound sack, well, you'll get a 20-pound sack. And then Jesus ended that little section with his words, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him. And it's with that context that we come to this little section in verses 26 to 29, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Three times in this section in Mark's gospel, Jesus talks about growth. He talks about growth back in verse 8. He talks about growth here in verse 27. And then he talks about growth finally in verse 32. The common denominator in all these parables is that God intends for his kingdom to grow. that the mark of the kingdom of God is that it is growing all over the world. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, decades after Jesus told this story, we read about this gospel, that the true message of the gospel that has come to this city in Colossae, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world. And so we've got to ask ourselves this question, well, what is this growth? What does it mean for the gospel to grow, for the kingdom of God to grow? Well, to grow, quite simply, is to increase in size and value. We know that a child grows. And if you've had a child and you take that child to the doctor, they're always looking for healthy growth markers. But growing isn't just increasing in size. It can also be increasing in value, that over a period of time, something grows, it increases in its worth. So that means that if a church is growing, if a church is part of the kingdom of God, it's increasing in size, it's not declining, and that increase is a growth in numbers, it is a growth in conversions, it is a growth in the love and knowledge of God, it is a growth in the value that that church brings, not only to its people on the inside, but also to those on the outside as they are invited in. We need to be mindful that there is real growth and there is fake growth. There is healthy growing and there is unhealthy growing. Healthy growing is something like I'm physically fit and I'm putting on muscle and gaining healthy weight. Unhealthy growing looks like when I get wider and rounder, etc. You know what I'm talking about. That's unhealthy growth. And so it can be for a church. A church can experience healthy growth and unhealthy growth. But God's kingdom, God's genuine kingdom, will always have growth in grace and in knowledge. And so it's a wonderful thing for us to belong to and to be part of and to partake in. He says his kingdom is going to experience spectacular and enormous growth, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So that's what our parable is about this evening. It's about growth, and we're really asking the question, how does the kingdom grow? The major element in these four verses is that the kingdom grows in ways that are gradual, invisible, but inevitable as the word of God is planted in the human soul. The kingdom of God, according to this parable, doesn't grow through a sudden, powerful explosion, but through a powerful, hidden, and regenerative force. In actual fact, the very first parable that we looked at in verses 1 to 20 of Mark 4 seems to discourage fast, immediate results. We discover in those verses that when the seed falls on that particular type of soil, it only lasts for a short time, and that when persecution comes because of the word, people who have grown very, very quickly actually tend to fall away and to give up. And that's important for us because what we're seeing tonight, or what we're beginning to see tonight, is the way that Jesus saw things. We're learning to see the kingdom the way that Jesus saw the kingdom. He saw the word conquering human lives, but doing it gradually in a way that at first we might not recognize or even perceive. That's important for us because it's not only encouraging for us as Christians, but it gives us great confidence. When you stop and think about it, a more boring, ordinary, and unoriginal comparison could not be imagined. One commentator says that when you think about the kingdom of God, you should think about shimmering mountain peaks, crimson sunsets, the opulence of the most opulent thing that you can come up with in the opulence of your imagination. You should think about the lustry glory of an MMA fighter. But Jesus likens the kingdom of God to seeds. And you see, that's the paradox of the gospel. It's the paradox of the kingdom of God, of the incarnation. It's the scandal of the incarnation. It's disguised and comes in the ordinary, a baby born in the backwater of Bethlehem into a manger, the feeding trough of animals. But not only does Jesus liken the kingdom of God to something so ordinary like seed, he also likens the kingdom of God to a process, I'm lost with my accent, to a process of growth. You see, a seed is not spectacular. Neither does a seed's laborious growth attract any attention. Night and day, the farmer waits for the seed. The rhythm of life happens. He sleeps. He gets up. Life goes on as it always had. But independent of the farmer, another process is at work. Slowly and imperceptibly, the seed sprouts and grows. Gradual, invisible, but inevitable. You see, the seed is completely unlike the world's quest for power. This doesn't look like the kingdom of God. This doesn't look like any powerful kingdom. The seed is so harmless and negligible that the farmer at first is almost completely unaware of its growth, to the point that he doesn't even know that it's happening. And despite the farmer's absence or ignorance or hard work or laziness, the soil brings forth this growth all by itself. And actually, the really interesting thing is that the Greek word is the word that we derive our automate from, our automatic. You know, we all drive automatic cars in this country, which makes it really, really easy to drive. The Greek word is automate. There is an automation to the growth of the kingdom of God as the seed is put into the soil. Apart from sowing, the only human activity in this parable is actually waiting in faith, confident of a harvest to come. It's like the language of 2 Peter, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. What we need to see is that despite these very, very basic and mundane beginnings and the absence of human involvement, the seed contains within itself its own fruit-bearing potential. The seed, like the gospel, prospers on itself. Once sown into the soil, it sets in motion a process that will ultimately lead to a harvest. This is really, like, it's so mundane, it's really hard to communicate the gravity of what we're trying to put across here. It's vital information for anyone who has ever decided that they are going to try to pass the gospel on to someone else. This might be the most important piece of information that any of us need to hear tonight if we have decided to participate in the ministry of the gospel, which I hope will be true for every single one of us. You see, we can feel that there is pressure for us to get immediate results. We can fall into the trap of thinking that it is up to us for our children to become Christians and turn to Jesus. We can think that we are left to our own ingenuity and our own arguments and our own apologetics to win people to Christ. Yet how often those quick results end up disappointing, while people who have hardly shown any fruit, any interest, any involvement, months later, years later, decades later, produce a rich harvest. For anyone who has ever done the work of trying to share the gospel with someone, this parable is for you. Because if you have been faithful in sowing that seed into the soil of someone's heart, you can rest well and sleep well at night, continuing to commit them to the Lord in prayer, but trusting that He will do the work of growing that seed in the soil of their hearts. So, with the time that I have left, and that's really what the parable is about, there's this last little bit in verse 29 that when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. There's this great confidence that there is a day when the harvest will come and all of this growth will be brought to light. But in the few minutes that I have left, and there are only a few, I just want to touch on human agency and divine agency in the work of sharing and proclaiming the gospel into the lives of others. First, the human agency. Human agency is indispensable. I don't want anybody to walk out of here and think, I've shared the gospel, my work is done. There's this element where you keep on sharing the gospel. You keep on sowing the seed. We saw that back in the first half of chapter 4 where the seed is sown over and over and over. In fact, every time you hear the word opened, preached, taught, you are having that word sown into your life. And every time it's an opportunity to say, what kind of soil is this being planted into in my life? But it's also true to say that every time you have the opportunity to sow the word into somebody else's life, you should take that opportunity to plant that seed in the soil of their hearts. You see, human agency is something that is needed. It is something that's necessary. It is something that we are all called to do, to live out and share the gospel with others. But when we slow down and read this parable carefully, we discover that there are great limitations to the human agency. Verse 27, night and day, the seed sprouts and grows, and the farmer has no idea how. All right, the point of this is not a scientific exercise. Please, no one come up with the video afterwards to show me how this works itself out. Jesus is simply making a point that it's a mystery. It goes into the ground, and whatever happens underneath there, which is hidden, eventually produces this ear of corn. It's the miracle of regeneration, where the seed dies and then brings itself to life. Verse 28, all by itself, the soil produces the corn. I want you to kind of imagine in your mind, it's like the soil and the farmer are having this conversation where the soil says, listen, I don't need your help. I don't know when the last time was that you drove past the cornfield or any field that was being farmed, but I can tell you that in my entire life of driving past fields where farmers were farming stuff, I don't think I've ever seen the farmer out in the field. Have you ever seen a farmer out in the field? I mean, I know like maybe I used to, like, they're just not out there. And that's the point that Jesus is making. Once the work of sowing is done, it's not that the farmer's lazy. He's sown the word, he's sown the seed, and then he goes on and does everything else that he needs to do with his farm, and he trusts that the seed is going to do what the seed does. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that the seed of the gospel, do you know what it does? It brings life. It regenerates hearts. You need to trust less in yourself and more in the seed, because the word of God is what is able to make us wise unto salvation. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Part of what Jesus is helping us to understand here is that not only do we need to trust him, but we need to trust his word to do what he said it was going to do. In the rhythm of getting up and going to bed and doing it all over again, the farmer is full of his busyness, but he doesn't have to do anything with the soil, because there's actually nothing that he can do. Paul would pick up this idea later on in 1 Corinthians when he was talking to that church, and there were these factions that were going on. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. I don't know that we struggle with that so much these days. Our thing goes something like, I'm Anglican, I'm Baptist, I'm Catholic, or I listen to this podcast, or I listen to that podcast. But listen to what Paul says when this church was arguing amongst itself who they listened to. I planted the seed, Paul says. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. I planted, he watered. But who brought the growth? Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So that's what we need to understand about human agency. It's necessary, but it is limited. We need to see that what we are called to do is to put our trust in God and the way that he works. I put my trust in him by listening to his word, believing it, and obeying it. I can only come to God through that word. In the same way that you and I can only come to each other in our words, in our speaking, in our communication, that is how God comes to us. And that is the way that he bridges the relational gap through his words. God has spoken. That's the great message of the Bible. Human agency is to pass on that word, but you must put your trust in that word, be obedient to that word, responsive and submissive if you want to be saved. You see, it's the Lord alone who gives life. So do not deceive yourself to think that any success is bound up in you. It's the Lord who gives the growth. And so that's really our second thing, into how do we understand divine agency? How do we understand God at work? How does God, by his Holy Spirit, produce life in you and me? What is the means of grace that he provides? And I've kind of had to coin a word this evening. You'll forgive me because it's not the best English out there, but it's seed and soil. It's S-E-E-D-I-N-S-O-I-L, one word, seed and soil. It's the seed in the soil that God uses to bring about this word. The seed alone is not enough. If I have seeds sitting on my kitchen counter and they're just sitting on my kitchen counter, nothing is going to happen. I have soil in my garden, and the only thing that it produces if I leave it alone are weeds and dust. Nothing grows. It's only when the seed is in the soil, the seed in soil, that anything is able to happen. And Jesus wants his disciples who were there and us as his disciples today to have confidence that once the seed gets in the soil, something will begin to happen. Verse 28, all by itself, the soil produces the corn. And so let me ask you, do you have that confidence? If you don't have that confidence, you will not get involved in the work of ministry because it is too much and not anything that any of us can do in our own power. So many today have lost confidence in the way God's work. So many of us today have lost confidence in the way God works. We've lost confidence in the way that God's kingdom comes, the way that it grows. We've lost confidence in his word, in his self-revelation, and in his self-disclosure to humanity. Why is it that Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation? If we have no confidence in the word of God, then the next thing that happens is that we begin to look for other ways to do the job that we're called to do as Christians. We look for other ways to try to build up the kingdom of God. That's why we come to church, to hear God's word, that it might be planted in us, that it might grow in us, that we might take it from this place and plant it into the lives of others. So that's human agency. We partake in the work of the gospel, but it's limited and it's long and it's laborious and we don't really know what happens. That's divine agency. God is the one who makes sure that the seed in the soil accomplishes all that he has set out for it to do. This parable, as we bring it all together, calls us to come alongside the business, the work of the kingdom of God, to recognize that even in our own lives, we might not be able to see any fruit in the lives of others. You know, if you have children here tonight, just by the way, please, if you're planting seed into your children's lives, or if you're gonna have children one day, if you're planting seeds into your children's life, don't like try and dig it up every night to see if it's growing. Just keep planting it in there. Don't try and dig up the seed that you've put into your neighbor's life or your work colleague's life. Just keep on putting it in there. Keep on putting it in there. And trust that whatever's happening in the soil of their hearts, God is accomplishing his set purposes. You know, Peter would write about this. I can just imagine that Peter was listening to these stories. But in his letter, he would write about those who would scoff and say, where's the promise of his coming? And Peter would go on to say that his coming is slow and God is not slow in keeping his promises, but rather he wants all to be saved. Because as the seed is put into the soil of people's hearts, that regenerative work is able to happen. God is patient and slow, not wanting any to perish, but all to be saved. You see, God doesn't hurl the kingdom at any of us like a Marvel superhero character with all of their superhero power. God plants it as a seed, present even now in the ministry of Jesus, hidden, imperceptible, but one day producing this great harvest. And so we, like Jesus, like the patient farmer, can be supremely confident in the coming of God's kingdom. Despite opposition, despite invisibleness, despite us not being able to perceive anything happening in someone's life, we can trust these words from Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Will you trust that word? And will you take that word and with boldness and courage at every opportunity, speak it into others' lives? I want us to just bow our heads for a moment, and we're going to pray. In a second, we're going to sing, but I want to just encourage you to pray two things right now in the quietness of your heart. To thank God for those who were patient with you and continued sowing the seed. You know who that person was in your life. You might even want to send them a text this evening on your way home or give them a call. Thank God for that person or those people that were patient with you and sowed the seed. And pray that God would give you the courage and boldness this week to go on sowing that seed in the lives of others. Won't you just take 60 seconds to do that quietly, and then we'll stand and sing together.